Did anybody bring a Bible? Did you bring a Bible? Raise it up if you brought a Bible. Let me see all the Bibles. This is how I know where to preach to. Thank God for Bibles. This is our instruction manual, and we're going to follow it. Amen. I want you to turn to Romans. By the way, everybody that's watching us live, it's an honor to have you. We appreciate the ones that do listen. Some listen to us now live, and then some go back and watch it later. And we really appreciate it. Sometimes you can't be here. A lot of times we have people from Florida to California up to the Dakotas that watch this broadcast that know about us. And it's an honor to have you. Y'all that are here, thank you for coming this morning. I want to jump through just a quick message before we hand out some good buckles and things. And here's what it's entitled. I started it a couple of weeks ago before we headed to the Steer Open National Finals. We saw several get saved there to the glory of God. Say amen to that. That's the reason we have church, is we want to see people give their lives to the Lord. So we will travel the country to see that done. And thank God, people, even though it was a Saturday about 2 o'clock, we saw a lot of people give their lives to the Lord at the Steer Open National Finals in Mulvane, Kansas. And so before that, though, I started a little message about living a righteous life. Now, not very many ministers talk about righteousness. Righteousness is just simply living right, doing things right. And I think it's important for all of us Christians to understand that God wants us to live a holy life. Not a holier-than-thou life, a holy life. And there's a difference between living for the Lord and just knowing the Lord. I mean, there's a lot of people that know Jesus, but do you know Jesus? I mean, have you lived for Him? Do you live for Him? Well, the Bible talks about this because, again, the reason cowboy churches were started years ago is because it was going to minister to the Western world that didn't go to church. They felt like they, didn't fit in. They didn't have a suit and tie on. And so a lot of them wouldn't go to any church. And we started ministering to them in the 70s. And God has started one of the fastest growing movements in the United States now. There's cowboy churches starting up everywhere. And really, they're no different from the next church, except we reach people that maybe was burnt in churches. We reach people that, again, just didn't feel like they fit in into some of those churches. And we want you to feel welcome when you come to Cowboy Church. We want you to know that God accepts you just how you are. When I say that, though, a lot of times people don't serve Him because of maybe some of the mistakes they made back when. I mean, I'm a living example of making mistakes back when. Because even though I was raised in the ministry, my dad was a pastor and, got his license to pastor, if you want those terms, in 1970. In college, I walked away from him. I mean, the party was at my house. I mean, I knew how to do it. Matter of fact, we would have one group on Monday, a different group on Tuesday, a different group on Wednesday, and a different group on Thursday. And then they all came together on Friday and Saturday. And then since I was a Christian, on Sunday we rested. Now, it wasn't that God left me, because He never did. The Bible says He never leaves us or forsakes us. But for a couple of years in college, I'd walked away from Him. Man, one day, though, I got on my knees in the 605 Runnels. I'll never forget that address. 605 Runnels. And I got on my knees and I said, God, I'm sorry. I know better. I was raised with my dad as a pastor. I was raised in a very musical family. I know better, sir. And the greatest thing happened to me is not only did he forgive me, because the Bible says, when you ask God to forgive you, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Matter of fact, he went further for all of us. And he took that sin and threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. And I don't know about you, but I'm thanking God that he forgot the sin. Now, the people, my friends, didn't forget the sin, but God did. I don't know about you, but I'm honored that God forgot it. And he don't hold it against me. But there's something about living righteous, living the right kind of way. And I'm here to tell you, that's why I love our president. That's why I love him. You know why? Because he's a shaker. Now, he may not say the right things that I would approve of all the time, but I'm here to tell you, he is a man of his word, and you and I are instructed as a Christian to pray for him and lift him up. Say amen to that. Because he's not afraid. Here we are afraid. We're afraid we get offended over everything. I mean, everything offends us now. I mean, we can't do anything without that spirit of offense. How dare you? By the way, you guys on the front row, y'all sat in people's seats that's been sitting there for a while. I did a service one time. I mean, y'all don't even know where to sit, do you? But I know these people, and they're not going to get offended. But I can promise you, people get offended over someone sitting in their seat. Matter of fact, I told this group this one time. I did a revival at a Methodist church years ago. We went close to it this weekend, heading up to the Panhandle of Texas for Thanksgiving to Jamie's family. And they asked me to do this revival. And it was, place was packed, man. Here's the cowboy preacher coming and going to preach to all these people. And I mean, I knew I was going to go in there, and you know, that's what evangelism is. You go in there and shake them up, man. And the good news is evangelists can leave and let the pastor deal with it. Amen. Here's what I did. I said, okay, they had just two sections. One side, then the big old, aisle, and then another section. I said, all of you on this side, stand up. And they didn't know what I was going to do. And I said, grab your stuff. Just look at all that stuff. I said, all y'all on this side, stand up. And they did. And I said, all right, I want all of you on this side to go to this side, and this side go to that side. I likely got killed. There was a lady that was sitting right about where you are, and she said, I have sat in this seat for 33 years. I said, I can tell. The print is there. I said, but I want you to go over here. Can you get out of your comfort zone? It messed them up, y'all. See, there's something about freely worshiping God without offense. Because that offensive spirit is what causes a lot of people not to come to church. They get upset over everything. And again, that's why I like President Trump, because he don't care. He just does it. Well, there's something about, though, doing things right, living a righteous life, because again, God's trying to get us out of that unrighteousness life. That's why he declares when you ask him to forgive you that he'll cleanse you from that unrighteousness. And so a couple of weeks ago we started talking about it, and if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 10. And let's look at just a few things, because, again, there's something about a Christian wanting to live right. Again, all you grandmas and grandpas, you know, when you were being raised up, we were taught right from wrong. And as we know now, what you knew back then as right is now being taught as wrong. And what was wrong back then is now being taught as right. And the whole world is getting so chaotic and crazy that we don't know what's right and we don't know what's wrong. That's why you and I need to live by the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we need to follow this book because it will tell you what is right and what is wrong. It will confirm the word to you. No, that's wrong. We should not do that. And what is right, hey, that is good for us. So what happens is we get so mixed up over when we start hearing about living a righteous life that, again, we confuse it as being better than someone, holier than thou, as we talked about earlier. And that's not what it is at all. Look with me in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren. Now, he's obviously talking to believers here. And I pray to God that that's you this morning, because if it's not, it needs to be. You need to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Believer with all my heart, and I'm reading out of the Amplified. Beside, I have the King James right beside it. Brethren, with all my heart's desire and goodwill for Israel, I long and pray to God that they may be saved. And he's saying, believers, man, we got to get people born again. We don't want them to go to a place called hell. We want them to go to heaven. Say amen to that. But not only do we want them to go to heaven when they leave this earth, we want them to have heaven here. We want the peace of God here, because you don't need it in heaven. It's already there. The Prince of Peace is there. We're going to celebrate that on Christmas, his birth, and then on Easter in April, the resurrection of him. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and that's letting us know that he's not dead. He's alive. Say amen. Okay. So his desire is that people give their lives to Jesus and not go to a place called hell, and then to have heaven there and here. The peace of God, the joy of the Lord. Because again, you don't need joy even in heaven. It's there. You need joy here. We need peace today. We need groundness, something that's founded on the solid ground. We need that today. Okay, so let's go on here. Verse 2, I bear them witness that they have a certain zeal and enthusiasm for God, but it's not enlightened and according to correct and vital knowledge, for being ignorant of righteousness that God ascribes, which makes one acceptable to him in word, thought, and deed, and seeking to establish a righteousness, a means of salvation of their own, they did not obey or submit themselves to God's righteousness. This is kind of where we're going to go just for a brief time this morning, because you can try to live right on your own, but you better live by God's righteousness. Now, I have to tell you, last night, when we're talking about doing what's right, we're talking about right living, and not getting into anger, not getting into fear, not getting into unbelief, not getting into doubt. No. Living by this Bible, controlling your emotions. Let me teach you something real fast. All of us have a spirit man, the Bible calls it. When you give your life to Jesus, you are born again in the spirit. That spirit is housed in this fleshly body. Would y'all agree with that? Okay? That's why the Bible calls that we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. Okay? The soulish realm, a lot of people don't deal with. The soulish realm is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay, so all three of them need to be in line. You have the spirit that man wants to please God, because that's what actually got born again. It's housed in this body. The Bible calls it the temple. The Spirit of God lives in the temple, our fleshly body. But then we have a soul, or mind, or will, and the emotions. And it's the soulish realm that gets a lot of people in trouble. And then the flesh just acts up based on the soulish realm. Because if your mind starts thinking a lot of bad thoughts, eventually your flesh is going to just get right in line with the mind. you see. And that can be either good or it can be bad. So it's vital that if our soulish realms, our mind, our will, and our emotions, man, we need to make sure that that mind of Christ is on the inside of us into our heart. And we're, in a few weeks, when I get back after this next Sunday, we're going to start talking about the heart. And we're just going to follow Romans chapter 10 here. Because the heart is a big part of you being an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our being just an overcomer. These guys that are winning these buckles, you have to be an overcomer in rodeo because things happen. I mean, especially in my event, professionally in steer roping, that you have so many steps. Number one, it's nothing like heading a steer. You have to actually, when you rope, you have to actually rope the right horn first, then the curl goes over the left horn and then over its back so that your trip, your rope can be over there on the right side. Not a team roper goes out there and ropes and then has to throw it over there before he and then this, but y'all that don't know, that's the first or second event in rodeo. And it came from the ranch when you had to doctor a cow. You had to go rope them, get them down. Your horse had to hold them down while you went and tended to the need of that animal. And then just like any other event, they made it into a rodeo event, a speed event. Fastest time wins. So you have the steer. You got to rope them correctly. That's the first step after scoring and getting out of the barrier. And then the second or third part, whichever, barrier, we'll call it the first part, roping the horns and laying your trip, is to make sure that the trip is not too low where it sweeps them, or it's not too high where the rope comes up and then they just turn like a steer. Because if they turn like a steer, it's a no time. That $400 or $500 entry fee, now I know that's a little different for these little kids because the entry fee is what, $15? $30? Well, in the steer roping, though, the entry fee at this event in April, the largest, well, matter of fact, now the third largest steer roping in the country, Cheyenne being the first one, and Pendleton, Oregon being the second one. Liberty Hill has the third highest paying steer roping professionally right here. Okay. Guess what the entry fee is? $1,060. So right before it, I'm going to take up an offering for my entry fees. I wish I could do that, but anyway. If you don't do the steps right, though, the first step, scoring, you don't want to break the barrier, that's 10 seconds. The second part, you don't want to rope like a team roper where your loop's flat, it ropes both horns at the same time. You kind of want to rope that right horn so that trips over there. But then the fourth step is making sure the rope is not too low and it's not too high. Then after it's perfect and it just turns them around, puts them on their side, you've got to get off. One of the most important steps, though, is your horse has to obey your command. When you say, whoa, it's supposed to stop facing the opposite direction. Where a calf horse is at least looking at the calf and the rider. And it just backs up away from it. The steer horse, all the stuff is going on behind them, see. And then the next step after that is the rider has to then kick his leg over and ride sometimes on the side of their horse until they're ready to get off. And they have to get off the opposite direction. That's the steps aren't over then. Because then it depends on what side the steer is laying on. If he's laying on the right side, you've got to use the left hand. If he's if he's laying on his left side, you've got to use the right hand. So I have to start learning how to tie a steer left-handed as well as right-handed, depending on which way they're on. Now, Tough Cooper, four-time world champion, you know, everybody knows him. He'll be at Las Vegas here in a couple of weeks. He kind of bypassed one of those steps because he's such a big boy. A lot of times when they're on their left side, he'll just tie them like a calf on their, just use his right hand. He don't even use his left hand. Son of a gun, he's fast. We need to make a law against that. The point being is all of them are steps, and then you've got to tie and make sure they stay down for 6 seconds, right? All of it is steps, and if you miss one step, it will affect the next steps. Here's the good news about the righteousness of God. Is all you got to do is just have a desire to want to live right. And then if you mess up one of the steps, God is so faithful. Man, that's why I love him so much, because he's so faithful to not live by the law like the Old Testament days. No, now he lives by grace, by mercy, by forgiveness. Not that you have the right to go and do what's wrong, but that there's a little bit of leeway as far as us being human beings, where he don't hold all these things against us. You see, there's something about living in the righteousness of God, but it's just not preached about a lot. Doing what's right. Listen to me. I've had a lot of people make up a bunch of junk about me. I remember years ago when we started this church, it was rumored that the church bought my home, bought all our horses. I wish they would have. It would have saved me a lot of money. I'm like, matter of fact, this church was known, we wasn't known, but the rumor was is that we was a beer drinking church. Come on, Episcopalians. I know y'all like to drink. No, we're not. We just want to live right. But I'm telling you, to live right, a lot of times people get really, really confused. So let's take out that confusion, because we started talking about some things that God tells us to do. Look at verse 5 of Romans chapter 10. It says, "For Moses writes that a man who can practice the righteousness, that perfect conformity to God's will, which is based on the law with all its intricate demands, shall live by it. But the righteousness based on faith, imputed by God and bringing right relationship with him, says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or verse 7, or who will descend into abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead, is if we could be saved by our own efforts. No, it says, but look at verse 8. But what does it say, question mark? The word, God's message in Christ, the Bible, is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word, the message, and the basis and object of faith which we preach. In other words, we've got to practice being the righteous person. Because when you give your life to Jesus, you are made the righteousness of God in Christ. And you've got to settle that this morning. When you give your life to Jesus and you say, Jesus, come into my life. Now, we'll read on in a few weeks about salvation. Romans 10:9. If you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be, say it with me, saved. Saved from what? Hell. That's a good start. It's hot there, right? You're saved from that. You're saved from living here without being able to cast all your cares on a Savior, you see. See, there's something about knowing and just saying, you know what? I am righteous because Jesus is the Lord of my life. Now, here's what the devil does. Here's where I'll start closing. Here's what the devil does. He starts saying, and remember, this morning, all we're talking about is understanding that when you give your life to Jesus, you are righteous. What is righteous? Doing what's right in every area of your life. I mean, we can start picking that apart, I'm sure. Like taxes. I mean, treating someone right, even if they treated us wrong. Come on, y'all. See, if we'll start learning this and start understanding that we are righteous because God gave us Jesus, so that when we receive him, we are made righteous. Well, the devil then says, yeah, but you did some unrighteous things, son. Ma'am, you're sure not acting too righteous. And so what happens is then we start thinking and getting confused by the enemy that, well, maybe we're really not righteous. And the only way for me to be righteous is let's start doing some good things to people. And before you know it, that's called self-righteousness. That's not God. That's what this is talking about. That's not God's righteousness. No, he's saying, no, you do it right. Come on, you're a winner. You're not a loser. You are a believer. You're not a doubter. Come on, you can do all things. Remember, we talk about this. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Come on, you're more than a conqueror through Christ because he loves you. If you believe what the devil says, then you'll never serve him. You'll never believe that you are a righteous person. But I'm here to tell you, because of what Jesus did for you, you are righteous no matter what. Sin or no sin. Thank God that's why Jesus died. Because when he gave his life for us and he was sacrificed, the Bible says that when his shed blood, when that happened, it covered the blood, a multitude of sin. Now that's not a right given to us to sin. It's just like mercy, man. Ah, oh, messed up, sir. Yeah, but the blood of Jesus covers. That's why then we should repent, turn away from it, and say, God, forgive me. He said, faithful and just to forgive you of your sin, cleanse you from that unrighteousness. And when you tell that devil, man, I get ticked off at this. We are to tell that devil, you don't have a right to mess with me because I... Now, we're not telling people this, right? We're telling the devil. When you tell the devil, wait a minute, the doctor said that I'm probably not going to live very long. When you say, devil, I don't believe your report. I'm not saying the doctor's the devil. But he can't have the final report in your life unless you give it to him. Amen. He may tell you the fact. You're diagnosed with this. But that, the fact, is not the truth. The truth is what that Bible says, that you're healed by his stripes. So if we, who's got a Bible over here? Anybody got a Bible? How come none of y'all brought a Bible? What's wrong with y'all? Your phone? Where's all y'all's phones? Ramona, good job. But look, here's your Bible. It is a fact that you were diagnosed with something. That's what the doctor says, right? But the truth is what's in this book. Mark chapter 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Okay, so all you got to do is not believe the report of the devil that says, yeah, but you're just not a very good person. You did some bad things back when. And not allow him to convince you that what the doctor says, and we believe in doctors, but they cannot be the final report if you believe this word. Because the final report is what the great physician says, that you are healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus. So if you believe the truth of the Bible, it will override the fact of what the doctor says. And I'll show you a man that will live a long life. And that's going to be you. Amen. See, there's something about living a righteous life, living a way of this Bible. Look, I better give this back to her. Because if you live by this, I don't care what the devil says to us. If we live by the Word of God, when we mess up, thank you, Lord, for mercy. But we've got to live a righteous life. And that's what's stopping a lot of good people is we're believing the report of the devil instead of believing what the Word says. So there's something about living holy. There's something about living a righteous life, doing what's right. So the next time you're tempted to do something wrong, why don't we think about this word? Why don't we say, God, you know what? Yeah, I want to slap him right upside the head, sir. And you'll probably go, sir, can I? Can I? And of course, he's going to say, nah, don't do it, brother. Forget about it. It's not going to hurt him. It'll hurt you. And when you do the right thing, watch what happens in your life. You'll have joy. You'll have peace. You'll have all those things that we desperately need here. All by living the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, let's start living right. Man, we're tempted way too many times to live wrong. But it's going to take some effort to live right. Amen? Here's something that's right, though, as we close. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Because none of this will mean anything if he's not the Lord of your life. By the way, you have, remember the spirit soul and living in this temple of the body? Remember the soul, you have a mind, a will, and emotions. Well, your will, it can either be the will of God or it can be your own will. So this morning, you have the will to say, I don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff. You have the right. God gave you the right. I mean, I think it's so cool that God actually gave us the right. He doesn't force us to serve him. I know there might be preachers that slap you over the head with the Bible. But really, God just presents it to you. That's Deuteronomy chapter 30. I've set before you life. There's also death. I set before you the blessing. There's also cursing. He says, but choose the blessing in life so that you and your seed will prosper. Did you notice he didn't say, so I make you choose life. You're going to give your life. No, he said, I said it before you. It's up to you. It's up to me to choose it. I believe that's a cool thing that God did. Because when you choose it, then, man, it's a transformation. You're going from a different kingdom of the world, darkness, into the kingdom of God through Jesus, the light. So this morning, if there's anyone in here or watching that has never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do it now. And here's a question. Because you have the right to say no, I just pray that you'll say yes. Are you born again? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? In other words, if you left this earth, do you know that you know that you know you would go to heaven? Now, I'm not talking about doubt. Well, I gave my life when I was a little kid, but I just walked away from him. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. No, I'm not. If you gave your life to Jesus, you're born again. You may have backslidden, and you need to come home. It doesn't have a thing to do with your salvation. You are born again. Amen? But there might be people here that's not born again. If you're not, I want you to give your life to Jesus. You're going to stand before God one day. This is if the Bible is true. How many of you believe it's true? Amen. Wouldn't be very good if you didn't believe that Bible was true from Genesis to Revelation. You're going to stand before God. You're going to be right down there. Say, I'm God. I'm not, but I'm just playing. He's going to look at you and say, you born again? Well, Jesus is going to be right here with this book called the Book of Life. He's going to be going, Father, May the 10th, 1979. This is me. Yes, sir. Wow, I got a bald spot right there. Quiet in the church, please. Jesus, again, he's going to be here. Father, May the 10th, 1979, Corey Ross, Otis Baptist Church in Otis, New Mexico, right outside of Carlsbad. He gave, his life to me. The Father then, according to the Word, is going to look at me and do you notice I'm going to be by myself? All my family and friends are not going to be there with me. We're going to be by ourselves. And he's going to declare to me, well done. He's not going to bring up all my faults. He's not even going to bring up the good things that I've done yet. He's just going to declare, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy or the rest, R-E-S-T, of the Lord. You see, that's what I want him to say to every one of you in here and watching. Because preachers don't talk about this next part. If your will says, no, I don't want to have nothing to do with you, sir. I don't want to have nothing to do with this God. Don't believe in it. You have the right to do that. But when you stand before God, since he's not a man that he can lie, he's going to have to declare and say to you, depart, you worker of iniquity. That's where people, that's why they choose hell. God didn't choose hell for you. Your will. So I'm asking you, I'm begging you, to don't choose hell and death. Choose life, everlasting life through Jesus. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer as a group. Even people that are saved, you know it. You are born again. I want you to pray this prayer and learn it so that you can give someone some hope that will not come to church, and you can lead them to the Lord wherever you're at. I led a girl in a horse stall years ago in Lubbock, Texas. She wouldn't go to church, but in a horse stall, I was able to lead her to the Lord. Well, you could do the same thing if you learn the spirit of this prayer. All the believers in here, I want you to pray it. But if you're not a believer, pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come in, would you? So every head bowed and every eye closed. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just pray this prayer, and all of us is just going to pray it with you. You ready? Out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart, and I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Before you look up, if you don't mind, just heads bowed and eyes closed. If you just pray that simple prayer and you said, Jesus, come into my life and save me. Come into my heart. If you just said that prayer, the Bible says angels are rejoicing for you. Thank God. But I don't want you to ever be ashamed of Jesus being the Lord of your life. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, Jesus, I just ask you into my life. And I meant it. I meant that prayer. And then just put your hand right back down. The reason I do this is the Bible says that if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. Don't ever be ashamed that Jesus is now your Lord. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time and you gave your life to Jesus, again, when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand up and then just put it right back down. Ready? And I'm going to have some people give you a Bible. When I say three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, I gave my life to Jesus this morning. I meant it. Thank you, Lord. And then just put your hand right back down. Ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Appreciate y'all. Thank y'all in the back. Honored. Honored. Thank you, Jesus. There's a couple kids. I want them to have a Bible. They've got their hands up in the second row. Anybody else? You said, I just prayed that prayer. I gave my life to Jesus, and I meant it this morning. If you hadn't raised your hand up, just put it up. Let me see it, and then just put it right back down. Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Several gave their lives to the Lord, and that's a good thing. Amen? All right, listen. That means we all have brothers and sisters in Christ. Ramona, come on up. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. Do I need a microphone? I should have left one up here that's turned on. You want me to do it? Well, listen to me. If you gave your life to Jesus and raised your hand, it's an honor to have you as a brother or sister in Christ. That means when I'm hurting, I need you. But when you're hurting, you got a big old family. Amen? Did y'all have a good time this morning? Thank you. Just in case I need that. All right. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I saw some of the kids come in, too. If you're going to get an award, come on down and get close. This is a cool thing for us because we do a series and a play day series, kind of where most people start learning how to ride a horse, how to do certain events like poles and barrels, and then they make some different ones like straightaways. And I always love it when the little kids start learning because the mom or dad has to run. Oh, I just love seeing them run. And some get smart enough where they just hold on to the horse and run with the horse. But we'd like to introduce you to the 2019 WCC Playday Series champions. The Playday Series consisted of 6 monthly competitions. Riders and their horses compete in 5 timed events at each one of the 6 competitions. Here today are some that have qualified for the year-end awards. Not everyone was able to attend because of the holiday, but we want to recognize them as well. Our first group is the most awesome cowboys and cowgirls. Congratulations to the assisted rider champions. The first one is Charlie Taylor. Where's Charlie? She's not here. What about Miles Fisher? Come on, Miles. That's my man. Nice. Yeah, just take the buckle. Forget the box. That's what I do. Come on, stand up here and we'll just... Is Jenna Taylor here? Okay. All right, here's our Pee Wee Division champion, Avery Miller. Woohoo! Yeah, you dress just like a cowgirl this morning. That's what I do. And yeah, go ahead and sit down if y'all want to. Why not? In our GoPro divisions, the champions are in the 1D... Ivana Solizano, is she here? All right, the second D winner was Andrea? Honore. Smedser. Honore. Oh, awesome. Congratulations. Honore. Love that. And then the 4D was Susie Power. Susie here? Give her a hand anyway. And then the fifth D is Tracy. Is Tracy Brandy's? Yeah. Where's your boots at, girl? My kids have their boots in the barn, and then they put it. And I said, cowboys, we wear our boots all the time. No, Dad, they hurt my feet. Our other year-end winners are Haley Power, Shirley White, and Chris Miller. Amen. All right, show everybody, y'all. Y'all two, y'all stand up for a minute. Stand up, cowboy. Give these, this group, let them take some pictures. I want you to give this group, here, let's take some pictures. All right, y'all smile. Where do we look? Over there? Everybody look over there. All right. Hey, little man, right over there. Hold your buckle up where they can see it. Yeah. Yeah, he's like, don't mess with my buckle. Give these guys a big old round of applause. Thank y'all very much. Appreciate y'all. Anything else? Awesome to do it. Amen. Thank y'all for coming. Why don't we stand to our feet? Just some quick announcements as you stand up. A friendly reminder to all the ladies planning on participating in the cookie exchange and the ugly sweater party this coming Friday, December 6th at 6:30. Information and directions to Jeanette's house. Would you come up here just so they all see you? All of this is going to be done, and by the way, we'll talk on Tuesday. To get directions to her house, it's going to be a cool thing, is the ugly sweater and the cookie exchange. They're going to do that this Friday. See her to get directions, please. Amen? And then that's on the next Friday, which is the 13th, because this is the 6th. That's this coming Friday. The 13th is our ornament exchange for the ladies. Listen to me. I don't care if you don't go to this church. You want to be there. Bring it. It has turned into a huge, huge deal. It's grown every single year, and we can't wait for it. So it's an ornament exchange on the 13th. What time is that, by the way? 6 o'clock. So on that Friday, then the 14th, as y'all know, is Liberty Hills Christmas Festival. Our church is going to have a little float. So we got that organizing this week. If you've been a part to work on that, then we need some help. I'm going to be driving. I'm on a flyback in so I can be a part of that. I'll be driving the truck. So I'll drive slow, promise. On the 15th, and by the way, that festival is Saturday night. It starts pretty close to dark. So we just need people there. We're going to put some bales of hay on my trailer and some signs that say Williamson County Cowboy Church. We need candy brought because we'll be able to throw some candies to all the people. John tried to bean me in the head last year from the sideline, so we're going to have the windows up this year. But don't, no suckers. Okay, so the city and all the committee said no suckers, just other candies we can throw out. And then the next night, listen to me, Sunday, the 15th, that's our Christmas concert. All of our band will be here. We're going to start at 5 o'clock. The kids are going to sing. It's going to be a blast. Spread the word Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. We're going to do our incredible Christmas concert. Amen? And then this Tuesday, we didn't have it last Tuesday, is our Bible study. I'm now teaching personally, me and Jamie, the 40 and under Bible study. And then the others stay in here, and they have a blast as well. So if you've never been to Bible study, it's for everybody. I'm just going to take the 40 and unders, and we're going to do some. But we've been doing it for a couple of months now, and so it's growing. So don't miss this coming Tuesday for our Bible study. We start at 6:30, and then 7 we go. We're done by 8 o'clock, so everybody can get home. We got child care, and so it'll be a great time. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a good time here in the presence of you, sir. As we said earlier, as we leave this place, the Bible says you never leave us, you never forsake us. So you get to go with us right now. Thank you for the ones that gave their lives to you. And again, in 2 weeks, we're going to have people join this church. As soon as I get back on the 15th, I just thank you, Lord, that if they did get saved today, and this is not their church, I ask you to just cause them to find a great church if they don't want this one to be it. But if this one is it, God, use it. Bless them in every area. Thank you for all the new people that came, all the winners of the Play Day series, and we just give you praise for a wonderful time. Now you get to go with us, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Give God a big round of applause as you're dismissed. Love you.